Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Nordic Football Podcast. As you know, it's Jonathan Faduba here, and I'm out in Sweden for the first weekend of the Allsvenskan 2024 season, the 100th year anniversary in Sweden. And I've had a great week out in Gothenburg, catching up with old friends, making new friends. And speaking of old friends, we're joined now on the podcast by a very special guest who was actually on this show a few years ago now. Listeners who have been with us for the last sort of 3-4 years, you may remember when the COVID times came along and there was no football, and we decided to get into Faroese football, and we decided to interview a very successful manager out there, Jens Bertel Askew. And funnily enough, I'm now sitting in a room with him in his office at IFK Göteborg, and he has gone obviously from there at HB Torshavn, I think that's pronunciation, to Denmark, to Sweden, and our lives have crossed paths again. And I'm now able to bring you an interview with the current IFK Göteborg manager, Jens Bertel Askew. So without further ado, Jens, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to be with you and meet you in person. How have you been since we last had you on the show, I think 3 years ago?
Oh yeah, a lot have happened. Well, welcome to Sweden.
Thank you.
Fantastic to bump into you the other day at the game and then have you here.
Thank you.
It's been I've come down from the mountaintop in Faroe Islands, landed in Denmark for a few years, and now I climb to on top of one of the Swedish mountains instead. It was great to be back home in Denmark and been part of the development in Danish football for a couple of years, both in first division and in the Super League with Horsens. And last summer this opportunity came up with IFK needing a new head coach, and it ended up being me who got the role offered, and it was very exciting for me to get this opportunity in a club with a fantastic history, a fantastic fan base, and an atmosphere that really just smells of football and emotions, and it means a lot to a lot of people in here. Just a day before the last training session before the first Allsvenskan game here, there was 300-400 people. Wow. at the training ground just cheering at us and wanted to catch a last glimpse of us before we met them the day after in Ullevi.
Yeah.
So fantastic club with a fan base that stretches through generations, and that's amazing to experience. Now we're not where we were, but we're trying to rebuild for the long term, and it's been an interesting process since I've arrived.
I think one of the things, for me personally, firstly I want to sort of say congratulations, because one of the things I think on the podcast, from a maybe selfish point of view, we like to think that we can identify future upcoming managers or future upcoming players. And so to have identified you, I think when you got the job, it was a bit out of the blue in terms of us, but we were really pleased because you've been on the show before. So for us, it was like a happy moment. So just want to say congratulations, obviously, because your journey since then, obviously you were super successful in the Faroe Islands at that point. And then shortly after, you moved, like you said, to Denmark, to Horsens, and then now obviously EFK. So yeah, it's one of those sort of funny moments that, the paths cross again, that when you came to Sweden, I was like, wow, that's cool. What would you say, if we start at the end of your time in the Faroes, after you left, you won the title, after you were on the show, and then the opportunity to move to Denmark came about.
Mm.
How would you say things have changed maybe from now at EFK to when you were in the Faroe Islands, in terms of you as a manager? What would you say you've seen in those times that's maybe influenced you or changed your perspectives? Or, I remember talking to you about, for example, tactics and philosophy and recruitment. There was loads of different areas we touched on. What would you say, in terms of your just personal journey, describe it as you as a manager, what you've learned in that period of time through the clubs that you've been at?
That's a good question. I think you learn every day and every week. Every game teaches you something new. Every time you arrive in a new club, you learn from new people, from new setup, from new history, from new organizations, and every club is different, and you have to adjust, and you have to apply the things you believe in but still you need to kind of adjust to what's there and the history and the culture and the traditions, and then at the same time, often when you come in, they're looking for something new. Yeah. Then they're looking for changes as well, but it still has to in some way align with the history and the traditions. Maybe it's a situation where the club has gone a little bit too far away from what it's what they see as their DNA,
yeah.
And they want to kind of rebuild it, but in a modern way. And that's what we are trying to do here, where IFK traditionally has been a team with a lot of intensity,
yeah.
a physical style of football, yeah. Very direct style of football, and then traditionally with top players, because we've been top of the league, we've been able to recruit from the highest level. Within the league, and now it's a different reality. So we have to educate. We have to grow our players to become top players.
Yeah.
Have to recruit smarter and players with potential. We have to develop our own academy players into top players, and of course that takes a little bit more time. The road is a little bit more bumpy, but it's also very exciting. And then in terms of being able to do that with material that's not, you know, we don't buy diamonds and make them into more pretty diamonds, you know, we have to get something that fits our financial reality.
Yeah.
That's why the Danish market in the second league, at the top of the second league is quite interesting for us, because it's financially possible for us to recruit there,
yeah.
and the level of talent in Danish football is quite good.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of players who don't make it directly into the Super League, yeah. which go through the second league,
yeah.
Or young players directly from the under 19
yeah.
Squads that gets, you know, that are kind of leftovers from the big clubs,
yeah.
Well-schooled yeah. Players from different perspectives,
yeah.
And then we kind of see that as a very important market for us,
yeah.
as well as Iceland,
yeah.
Norway,
yeah.
And some of the markets with you know accessibility,
yeah.
for us, and then we try to mold it in terms of being able to compete,
yeah.
over time in the top again for European competition,
yeah.
then we need to play a style of football that is difficult,
yeah.
that is dynamic, that is very demanding,
yeah.
for the players, so they develop as much as possible and grow and grow and grow. And of course, where we are now, we start a new season. The weight from last season,
yeah.
from the relegation, you know, dancing with the relegation,
yeah.
line, the weight is gone.
Yeah.
So now we are adding more risk and more. Even more layers into our game, the way we build up against high pressure, for example, and the dynamics in our game have changed, and we're trying to progress. But it's an interesting road, and it's not just linear going forward. But I think we've gathered a very talented group with big potential. Maybe we'll talk about one or two of the players,
yeah.
In a minute or two.
Yeah.
But with the potential to grow over the coming years, and then we've started like first step of integrating our style of play and,
yeah.
our style of the way we want to develop work with the development within the squad, and also,
yeah.
individually with the players that we try to implement throughout the system. We've added throughout the system into the academy. We've added an under 23,
yeah.
Team, which is actually it's a local club that plays in the fourth league.
Vesterfrölunda,
yeah. where we can loan out players from week to week.
Okay.
So all our academy players. And also 18 players, if we put them on loan list, they can play for us,
yeah.
on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday they can go to Vester Frölunda, then they can come back and play.
Okay.
Even for the under 19, the
and
next
still
week
be registered
and still play. Be registered. Yeah. So they're not bound for 6 months.
Okay.
They're not limited by the transfer window, which is very exciting and interesting opportunity.
Yeah.
So it means that our 15, 16, 17 year old players can get senior football, competitive football, at that age, which is very interesting for their development.
Yeah.
And then we can match them in the academy when they need to, maybe not stand so much on their toes for a week or two, and then they can train with us with the A team a couple of times as well. So there's some interesting opportunities in and it's not many clubs do that in Sweden, even though the opportunity is there.
When you first came in, I believe when you moved to Horsens, I believe it was mid season. Or sort of towards the end of the
season.
So it's a similar dynamic to when you joined EFK, obviously. You know, you joined mid-season when it was a bit of a crisis period for the club.
Yeah.
How did you find it sort of when you joined EFK, and what did you do to it? Like, you've just mentioned some of the changes that you've implemented, and it's a gradual process.
Yeah.
What were the things that you immediately came in when you joined EFK and you were like, these things need to change in terms of maybe tactics or fitness, or, you know, what helped you turn around the season, you know, to keep them up?
I think the most important thing was to change the work with the mentality of the group. First of all, to form a solid group. It wasn't a solid group when I came here. It was pointing in all sorts of directions, and that's what often happens when you underperform over time, and especially in a club with a lot of external and internal pressure. And there was, you know, and we had to take some tough decisions, even players who we brought in for big money. In 6 months before I arrived, we had to let them go because they just didn't fit in.
Yeah.
In terms of fighting for relegation and contributing enough to the group dynamic, and we need to change that immediately. So there was a lot of molding with them, with the group mentality and the values.
Yeah.
And that was quite the first 2, 3, 4 weeks were quite tough for some of the players.
Is it easy to do that? Because obviously, in the middle of the season, you're game to game every week. You have to sort of make judgments quite quickly, do you think? Is that a skill, you know what I mean, in terms of you've got to quickly say, right, he's not for me, he's for me, he's...
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be able to... I was lucky I had the support and from the management above me to take some tough decisions. Yeah. They backed me up.
Yeah.
And then after, I think sometimes you have to get rid of one or two
in terms of
lifting all the other guys because if one or two players who don't, you know, pull in the same direction as if they do the opposite then it takes that it holds back the entire group and if you get rid of them and then you're consequent about what you're doing what you expect.
Yeah.
Then it can lift everyone, and that's what more or less what happened. Then we brought in some players who made a big difference.
Yeah.
We worked a lot on. We had a 2 week break after the first game. I came in two days later. We played first game. Then we had a 14-day break with no competitive games, and now we really pushed the fitness level and the mentality with hard intensive training and very. Direct feedback, very tough and demands, highlight the behavior we didn't want and highlight the stuff we wanted from the players.
Yeah.
Implemented the first phase of our new style of play with intensive high pressure with the 4-3-3 based football. It kind of took on, and then we had a training game in that period against Malmö away where we won 1-0 and that kind of also
built confidence
built confidence and that we were on the right track
and
then we had some poor results the next 3 or 4 games, but then after that it kind of took on and we had a good run for about 10 games where we were in that period one of the best teams in the league, and then it still ended with us having to secure the place in the league in 97th minute in the last game. So it was a very interesting ride.
Yeah,
ups and downs. But But we formed a strong group in that period. Yeah. Also, that's also what happens when you go through a lot with a lot of emotions.
Obviously, ultimately, you're successful, and I think probably it's a big relief for the whole club because, you know, EFK Göteborg is a massive club, and I think we talked about it on the podcast a lot in terms of EFK and, you know, the history and everything like that. And even yesterday, obviously, the Djurgården game, we're recording this the day after the Djurgården game, and, you know, the TIFO before the match and, like, the fans, it gave me goosebumps, like, you know, watching the atmosphere and everything, the song. Steve is on the podcast, he loves the anthem. I brought him my EFK scarf because he's almost become a fan just through the anthem alone. So it's like there's a big history of the club, but that also brings like big challenges. Like, how do you find managing externally, like say the fans, sort of managing expectations in terms of what they want, if you know what I mean, and manage it? Because it's quite a big, I'd say it's one of Sweden's biggest clubs in terms of like fan pressure and maybe media pressure.
Yeah.
Is that something new to you compared to say the Faroes or what you've experienced with them? I know you've obviously been a pro player.
Yeah,
so.
Of course.
How do you manage
The attention, the level of attention in IFK Gothenburg is of course a lot bigger than both in Horsens and in Hobe Torsholm. But that was also one of the main reasons why I was so excited to get this opportunity, because that's what you dream of both as a player and as a manager, to work in places where the level of attention is high, because it gives you so much drive and energy. And also it puts a pressure on you that hopefully you will grow from. And then you learn how to kind of manage with that. I think that's when having a history as a player, you have a little bit of experience of dealing with external pressure. And I think as a manager, it's about you don't have to communicate directly with the fans and so it's important that my thoughts about it was make sure that the players send the right signals, that when they communicate verbally or especially non-verbally with their body language or with how we express ourselves on the pitch and also in the training how we conduct our training. Because a lot of fans come here to watch our training. It's an open training ground, and it's that's important. That we send the right signals to, especially in a situation where you fight for relegation, and then the way I communicate and the way what I express also as a manager, both when I stand on Ullevi. And that I don't shy away from the being, on the touchline. Yeah. I don't hide in the dugout when the players are struggling.
Yeah.
And that we play a type of football that get people out of their seats.
Yeah.
And that's what we try as good as we can. And then play an honest type of football where we don't fall into bad habits, where we try to take shortcuts and cheat and do stuff that will not help us in the long run, because we also role models for a lot of people in 3 or 4 generations, and there are expectations to how we behave also off the pitch, and that's a big role for us in this city. We have a big responsibility as in the community here, which is quite similar to what I experienced in Norwich.
Okay.
When we were there.
Yeah.
There was also a lot of activity activities for players involved in all sorts of stuff connected with the
the community,
not just football, I suppose,
exactly,
and like hospitals and schools, and I like that. Yeah. I like that part, and I think it's a great way to connect as well.
Yeah, and it brings the club closer together, I guess, as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, like we spoke about on the pod last time you were on. Obviously, you were professional. You played at Norwich. You're most known. Norwich fans, I think when we recorded that a lot of Norwich fans contacted us, actually, and was sort of giving you kind words I think you had a brief spell at Millwall as well for a short period of time.
Very brief. Yeah.
And obviously played in other places, played in Turkey and places like that. So you've got that perspective. What would you say? I mean, it sounds like from what you're saying, a lot of the things that you had to bring in when you joined were maybe off the pitch factors, like maybe, you know, changing the mentality and things like that, like you said, the behaviours. What would you say from that point of view, your like non-negotiables from your point of view in terms of your style of how you like to manage a club and what you demand of players? You know, is there, for example, fitness or technique or, like you said, behaviour? What are those non-negotiables that you, a player needs to be able to sort of succeed under you, if that makes sense?
Oh, that's like a basically basic respect of the team and your teammates, your surroundings, the people who work here. We have to demonstrate that in everything we do. We're tidy. Off the pitch is important. Yeah. That we don't leave our stuff, you know, throw our trash yeah. around the place. Yeah. That we look after the facilities we have here. That we tidy up after each other, and that we help each other with whatever is whatever we need to help with. If it's moving a goal, if it's tidying up the cones, it's you know. It's also a club that's it's in the name of the club,
yeah.
with you know, kameradskap,
yeah.
comradeship,
yeah,
yeah, and you know it's we help each other, yeah. we're a group, and we're buddies, and that's something that we that's very important for me, that mutual respect, that you don't think you are better than anyone
yeah.
else just because you're the footballer and he's the janitor, he's the kit man, or. And we have to demonstrate that on the pitch as well, that we do our best to help each other on the pitch, that we work extremely hard for each other, that we track back as fast as we can when we lose the ball, that we repress with extreme intensity, that we do our very very best in everything we do, and that we have and the body signals we send and the verbal communication that is respectful. Mm-hmm. That we thank the fans after the game, no matter how disappointed we are,
yeah.
from an individual point of view, or that we don't come on the pitch, or that or if we lose the game, we still do that because they're extremely important for us. We show that we pay them the respect
yeah.
They need. That we communicate well in the press after the game, even though that's you know it was a tough thing. It was a tough season last year, and it can be easy to point fingers. And that we look after that we're professional, that we look after our body,
yeah.
and also work extremely hard off the pitch as well. When we're in the gym, when we are punctual,
yeah.
all these basic disciplinary things yeah. that is extremely important in terms of driving and pushing a group forward. In the same direction.
Did you find that was lacking when you first joined a little bit in the terms of the squad itself, or was it just a case of improving it slightly?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't nearly enough in terms of the standards that was needed for mm. us to perform a lot better and to get out of the situation we were in.
Mm.
And it wasn't enough in terms of the standards I expect. And it's something that you have to push. You know, every day,
yeah.
as a coach, as a manager, as a coaching team, and now we've come to a point after 6 months, plus a little bit plus a pre-season,
yeah.
where the players are getting better and better at pushing each other inside the frame
yeah.
what we've set out. So that's where we want, but they you still need to remind them now yeah. and just. You know, this morning I had to remind them after the first game how much discipline and willpower we need yeah. in our defensive game when we defend our own box, because yeah. it wasn't nearly good enough yesterday, yeah. even though we were one man down.
Yeah.
That's no excuse. And it showed yesterday. Now we've had a lot of focus on developing our attacking game.
Yeah.
And then the danger is sometimes that you forget a little bit, or you... Either conscious or unconscious,
yeah.
you let go a little bit
yeah.
of some of the other areas that you haven't focused so much on,
yeah.
and then sometimes you just have to remind them
yeah.
in a very clear manner. That's unacceptable.
Yeah. I mean, just for context, obviously, we won't talk about the game too much, but obviously, EFK lost the game 4-1 to Yuan, and there was a red card in the first half, which kind of changed the dynamic of the game. I want to talk more about kind of, because this is more of a wider talk, and we're doing our season previews at the moment and looking towards the whole season, so rather than reviewing one match. What would you say is Yen's sort of Bertolaschi ball, if you know what I mean? Like, what is your overriding philosophy? Are you a pragmatist in terms of it depends on the squad you have, or are you like, this is my way of playing and this is how I want to play? Where would you say, because obviously one of the other questions that's related to that is, when you came in, you obviously brought a few players that you knew. You were lucky to have a transfer window maybe last summer to maybe tweak the squad a little bit with players that you already knew, and maybe they understood a little bit more about what you want, your philosophy. So what is that philosophy in terms of playing style and your ideal way of playing the game and seeing the game?
I think it aligns quite well with what historically has been IFK and what we see as our DNA, a very dynamic, intense, lively type of football. Now we are trying to add more structure into the game, where there was a lot of defensive structure in the fall, but we didn't go that far into working on the offensive structure in all phases because we just didn't have the time. And now we're trying to add that, so we become even more dynamic and unpredictable for the opponents, and they will be. Hopefully, over time, it'll be more and more difficult for them to put pressure on us and to put us in situations that we cannot solve without losing the control of the game. And that's a very football with who demonstrates bravery on and off the ball with high intensity pressure, where we press man on the whole pitch if we have to. If that's the best way to close down the opposition, that's what we do. We need also a team who are able to, in these phases where you are defending low, that we can do that with everything we got and defend the goal in the box with our life, that mentality. Yeah. But then we need what we're trying to build here, and what I find is interesting to work with is building a very lively, dynamic team with fast thinking, fast playing players, fast moving players, who can play in an extremely high tempo on and off the ball, and who are good in the transition phase, but who can also run longer attacks. And I think modern football has been moving in that direction for a long time, and more players are developed that way. And then apply, some bravery in the duels as well. Yeah. Because football will always be, I don't think you will ever get to a state where football will be contactless, contact free. So you have to be able to deal with that part of the game as well.
Yeah.
And that's also something we are working with a lot to keep that intensity, even though we're losing maybe a little bit of centimeters here and there.
Yeah.
Over time, or with some of the players we've brought in and replaced for some of the older and more physical players.
What would you say? I mean, I don't want to keep you too long, much longer, but you've been very generous with your time, and I know you're busy. Like, in terms of, I just want to touch on one or two players that did quite well for you at the back end of last season. Macaulay, I think is that pronunciation Macaulay? I don't know Macaulay. Santos as well. Do you have a word for them in terms of like they seem to have like an immediate impact almost on the team?
Yeah, they were two players with a little bit of experience from the highest league, Super League in Denmark, and also from the second league. And two talented players who've had a good development in the early 20s and had played a lot. So they had momentum when they came here, and that was important for us because we needed players in who had momentum and with a good physical level, and they just made an impact immediately. I know they were good players. They have Santos, very very fast, very explosive, very intense player, both on and off the ball. Can play as a forward, can play as a fullback, can play as a wingback. Very athletic player, ex- extremely aggressive, and then Abner, like more also a winger, but one who operates more over the center and in a number 10 role, who's very good at setting up attacks and an intelligent player with a good left foot, good in tight spaces, who can decide games, and he's born in Denmark, but he's got parents from Albania, and now he's kind of finding his way into the Albanian national team. He's been brought up the last two times, played the last in a few weeks ago. He played in both games, and hopefully he will be in the squad if he does well if he keeps doing well here in the spring season. He will join Albania for the Euros, and that will be a very exciting challenge for him as well, and also a big thing for us. If we get a player into the Euros.
Did you have to sort of pinpoint them yourselves and say when you came in, like, okay, even maybe before you even joined the club, like, these are some players I want? Or is it a case of sort of they became available on the market and you were like, I like them? Like, how directly were you sort of like, I want these players, if you get what I mean? Or was it opportunity?
We didn't talk about players before I started, but Santos, they already had him on the radar.
Right.
Scouting team had been following him. They'd followed him for a season or two before I arrived, and they were already quite far in the decision making. Then they asked me when I arrived, what do I think of him, because I coached him for 2 years. Yeah.
And you're like, no brainer.
Yeah, no brainer. Take him.
Yeah.
If we get the opportunity. And then Abner, of course, I was one player I knew a little bit better than them. I brought him up, the name, and then we looked at the his profile, and it suited very well to what we needed, and then we were lucky that he was out of contract that summer, and then we succeeded in bringing him in, and they've made a big impact, and now hopefully they will take the next step in their development.
And looking at the transfer business sort of in the winter now, heading towards the new season, are you quite satisfied with the transfer business? And it seems like the team's slightly younger in kind of overall squad age. Is that something that pleases you? Is that a dynamic you want to go towards?
Yeah, it's not just me. It's the whole strategy of the club is that we wanted to make our squad younger.
Yeah.
And I think right now we have one of the younger squads in Allsvenskan. Mm-hmm. We have the youngest under 19 squad. We have the youngest team in League Vestafoli, in the fourth league, with our reserve team, and so that means that maybe we won't win everything in the youth academy tournaments like we usually do. We win a lot of games, but the development will be boosted a lot for the young players, because they will be exposed for senior football a lot earlier now in their careers, and that's what we want. And then over time, hopefully it will bring us to the next level, and also we'll be part of the market that's exploding right now in Scandinavia, all over Europe, but especially in Scandinavia for young players. Where they get sold for big money, and it's been generating a lot of money into Danish football. Like, now Norway has come along, and Sweden is also joining that market with Lucas Bergwall.
Exactly.
So sold for a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't have the opportunity to bring in money from foreign investors because of the structure in Swedish football, then you have to generate money from transfers, or European football, and European football. Hopefully, we'll get there again. But I think the shortest way for us to lift our financial strength is
player development.
Is player development. Mm-hmm. And in terms of that, it's that's also something that I try to implement. The close relations.
Yeah.
We form valuable and close relations with the players. It's not just being strict and being clear and just telling what we don't want. It's also building and forming healthy, safe relationships with the players on and off the pitch, where they feel safe and they can ask questions and they can we can discuss football and we can work on individual coaching points. And talk about other things than football as well, because when you have players, when you get them involved around the age already as 15-year-olds, you know, they're not nearly, you know, finished their mental development.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot of different approaches you need to have as a coach in modern football. It's not just dealing with 30-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. And I get the impression that you know, I mean, if we could talk maybe two more questions, basically, on the subject of youth development. Like, obviously, one of the players in our, as every year on the Nordic Football Podcast, we do like a 10 to watch in 87 in Allsvenskan. And without giving away who our 10 to watch is, like, Malik Jr. is one of them that's maybe potentially in that 10 to watch. What could you say about him? Because he seems to be, I mean, I watched the game yesterday and he had quite an interesting debut, quite young talent. Could you talk about maybe a bit more about his qualities that made you think he's ready for first team? Like now, and to start such a high-profile game, and what's he shown to you that maybe?
It's quite an interesting story, because it's a player that he hasn't been here for that long, and when he arrived, maybe 6 weeks ago, something like that, halfway into the preseason, we didn't really know much about him because he was scouted a year ago. He was here on a trial before I arrived. And we had no idea how good he was actually going to be, because he had to stay in Africa until he turned 18, and then it took a little bit longer than we expected by getting his visa and his work permit. And then he arrives in the middle of pre-season and he just hits the ground running with a lot of intensity, a lot of speed. And even though he's doing his Ramadan right now, it seems that it looks like he's even running even more, more energetic. And he's just getting better every week, even though he can't communicate a lot. My assistant coach, he made a list, of vocabulary from English to French, because he only speaks French.
Yeah.
So he's testing him every day, learning him three or four new words, football words, so we can communicate just a little bit. But he's very good at communicating with his body language and with his feet. Very, in many ways, an intelligent player with a fantastic intensity and discipline and ability to play in a high tempo.
Sounds like he's got a bright future then, and someone we should be keeping an eye on.
Absolutely. I think many people got a... Had a fantastic experience watching him yesterday, and we'll follow him closely. He's a special talent, and he's got a lot to learn. I think learning English will help him a lot and improve the way we can work with him on a daily basis. Yeah. He's having English lessons 4 times a week, so hopefully it will pay off over time, and then we'll see how much English he will have learned when he leaves us.
And speaking of English, like, final question, obviously, I think, if I may say, like, when we interviewed you in the Faroe Islands, like, you struck me as quite a sort of very ambitious manager. Like, I remember after the interview, I remember thinking, like, yeah, I think you know you'll go places, without wanting to flatter you too much, you know, or blow smoke up your ass kind of thing. Like, I got the feeling, like, you know, you're gonna not be in the Faroes too long in terms of your career trajectory. You seem quite ambitious. And at the moment, obviously, you've got the Norwich pass, you've played in England before. And at the moment, there's a sort of a trend of coaches in Sweden. We seem to be seeing a trend of coaches maybe moving to places like England. I know your immediate focus is obviously going to be EF Core, and there's a big job to do here in terms of turning the club around. But I just wanted to get a comment on, you know, I guess you still have a good relationship with Norwich fans and that kind of thing. And I just wanted to get a sort of idea of, like, are you quite career-driven in terms of your... Some managers you meet and it's like you don't know how far they want to go, if you know what I mean, or where they're comfortable. Like, I get the sense you're quite ambitious, and I get the impression you really want to take EF Core to the top and then, you know, keep progressing your own career and learning and developing. Would that be fair to say?
I think every manager who's come this far, they've got the opportunity to coach a professional football club, they've gotten there because they have ambition, ambitions, and they are ambitious, and that counts for me as I expect it counts for everyone else. It has brought me here, and I'm very excited about being here. I think we've just started building here, and it will be very, very exciting to see over the coming years. I still have a 3-year contract here, so we'll see how far we can take it in my time, and then it's up to the club after this period to say if they want to keep me or if I have to go somewhere else. But I think the road to good opportunities or to just a future and having a job in this business, because it's very competitive and there's a lot of good managers out there who don't have a job, and there's a lot of young managers coming up and pushing people from behind. So you have to be really open-minded. You have to learn every day. You have to contemplate about what you're learning. You have to be curious. You have to know that you have to develop your coaching style, your skill set as a leader, and also on the pitch, the way you see and approach football. You have to try and be one step ahead, and at the same time you have to have some sort of base and a style that you believe in, and then hopefully over time it will bring you to exciting experiences. Right now I'm enjoying life here, and it's a fantastic club to be part of, and then we'll see how far I will be able to go with EFK and how far football will take me.
And I mean, it's a massive challenge, EFK, you know. I'm not trying to see you too far into the future, obviously, EFK. I mean, if you turn EFK around, you're going to be, I think you have a Freedom of Gothenburg, like, if you turn, because, you know, it's a massive project here alone. I just wanted to, like, finally, like, very final question. You just mentioned a comment there about how you have to sort of have your own grounding, but you also have to be open-minded and develop. How do you do your own personal learning? Do you look to other coaches? Do you like read? Is it just through watching games? Like, just curious to know about your own learning journey, like how you take new ideas. If you know what I mean. Do you have a process for that? Just for maybe other managers who listen or young coaches.
I think first of all, it's important that the people you surround yourself with, you know, every day, and the people you discuss most and who see what you do, that you try to surround yourself with people who are honest and who will give you their honest feedback in everything you do. And that's been important for me, and I've changed assistant coach many times, and I've been lucky to work with also when I was assistant coach coming up young with very different types of coaches, but also different types of assistant coaches, but they've all been very loyal and very very honest, and I try to establish an environment where they can be honest, also the physios or the scouts, with me, because I think that's the only way that I develop and get feedback from what I do, how it affects them, how it affects the environment from their perspective. And then I think it's also important that you keep your feet on the ground a little bit. It's in that way I used to say this when I was in Faroe Islands. It was, you know, it was healthy to just go for a walk and sit on one of the mountaintops and feel a little bit small. To be humble again, because especially in a club at this size where you get a lot of attention, I think it's important to also surround yourself with people who dare to crack a joke on your behalf, and you know,
give that perspective.
And I like this club in terms of that it's not a club that we're not pretentious, and we don't think we are so much better than everyone, and we also in a position right now that we have to be humble, and at the same time we have to start behaving as a big club, but in a good way, you know, not being arrogant. And there was an opportunity yesterday, for example, where there was there was a decision made after 27 minutes where one of our players gets sent off with a second yellow. You could question that and say it was the referee who lost us the game, or you could say, well, we need to learn from that, and so we cannot give him the opportunity. It was our mistake. We lost the game. And that's the perspective we chose, because I think that's going to bring us the longest. That's the best way for us to get back on top, that we take full responsibility for what happened on and off the pitch. That's how we learn the most, and that's how we force ourselves to improve the most.
Well, it's been fantastic to talk to you. Like, I really appreciate your time. Like, it's snowing outside at the moment. Jens is in the office late, you know, he's working hard. So, yeah, I hope this is informative for a lot of EFCore fans as well, and the listeners in general, about management, coaching, and also your career development. Like, you're on a journey, and it's great to catch up with you again and see you doing so well. So,
great to see you.
Thanks very much, Jens. And I'm sure we're going to get some Norwich fans messaging us again after the last time. So, yeah, I know you're fondly respected there still. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for listening.